Hello and welcome to another edition of the Games of the Decade. And we are now into 2016. I'm your host, Sean Garman, here. We have an extra large panel for these set of shows. So get ready, as I don't know if they're going to be any longer or shorter. So the one good thing here is that starting with this year, the website existed. So we have an extra kind of set of top 15 to kind of go off of and have fun looking back at what we thought were the top games of that year, in that year, actually, and then be able to look at how if any of our thoughts have changed since then, looking at, back at it, you know, 3 years or so later. So that should be fun. But joining me here is, as always, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
And Jens Dietrich.
Great to be here.
And Mr. Randy Isbell.
Yeah, all I know is number one's the same.
And joining us for the first time on these, Daniel Anderson.
Hello.
All right, so just in case, for some reason, I feel like I'm a broken record having to say this every time, but if you decided to start listening at 2016 and didn't go back to listen to any of the other ones, the way we did this is that everybody here voted, along with one extra person that's not here on the podcast present, and we all had top tens for every year that's in this, in the previous decade. Your number one was 10 points, your number 10 was 1 point, and, you know, you can do the math in between. And we took all that and made a top 15 for each year with some extras if there were ties. And we're taking that number and reducing it to a de facto top 10 for each year so that eventually when we do the top 100 of the decade, we know which games were standouts for those years. So, as I mentioned, we're going to rattle these off here for 2016, this is what it looks like before we do any kind of debating. Number 1 is Uncharted 4, number 2 Titanfall 2, 3 Doom, the 2016 version, Inside is number 4, Stardew Valley 5, Dark Souls 3 is at 6, Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE is at 7, Super Hot 8, Pokemon Go 9, Watch Dogs 2, and Firewatch are also tied for 9th. Along with Ratchet & Clank Remake, Odin Spear Loop Riser, and Overwatch, and Tricky Towers.
Life Frazier.
Really?
You call him okay. I love Loop Riser, so that's a great
name. I know. I'm not German, so thank you, Jens, for clearing that up for me there. And then just missing out is The Witness and Res Infinite, tied for 16th, and Planet Coaster and Owlboy are tied for 18th. So
wait a second, which year did Luftrausers come out? Because that should have been on one of these lists.
No, that was way back. I think it was it 2008 or 2009?
Okay, man, that feels like
2014.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, no, the thing was, I think, yeah, just
and no one had it on their list.
Nobody even thought about it.
I played that game a lot.
What's funny is that if you go back to, you know, when we did this on the podcast, Mark, Daniel, and I, Overwatch was really high. Nobody even thought about Dishonored 2, which is 4th on the list when we did it in 2016. Battlefield 1 got extra praise, so did Final Fantasy 15 and Last Guardian. 3 games that I think nobody thinks about now.
I mean, I should have had Final Fantasy 15. I was picking quite a bit.
And, Randy and I had also beat it at that time too. So
I probably close at least, or, you know, up on my way.
Yeah, and there's more love for Watch Dogs 2 now than back then as well, so interesting stuff to look at. So anything that you guys from the, you know, 11 to 15 or the missing out list that you, well, obviously I think Overwatch we got to put in here somewhere.
Yeah,
but aside from
that, I don't
that,
see how we get around it.
I like that Ratchet & Clank remake quite a bit.
I like that a lot. too. I'm a big Odin Sphere fan, obviously. But, you know, Tricky Towers, that's like a forever game for me. I've played that more than anything else on this list, I think.
Yeah, I've played a lot of Tricky Towers, too. Thank you, PlayStation Plus.
yeah,
I like that game,
best
too.
Best value for money ever.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of those games, I agree with you. I just never delete it from my PlayStation 4. It's a good way to waste 20 minutes or whatever. It's great.
Randy, since you are a Tricky Towers player, we need to play some versus sometimes.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Yeah.
For the record, I actually had Final Fantasy 15 on my list. I didn't forget, guys. I never forget. But one game, I don't think it makes a top 10. I just want to give it a shout out. Another puzzle game. The Witness, I thought, was very beautifully done. Definitely is not for everybody.
I really didn't like The Witness.
I also didn't like it, but I kind of think it should be on the list.
Like, I would much rather have like The Talos Principle, and that was a year before on a list, like, you know, on a game of the year list.
The puzzles in that were so good, and I love that it didn't hold your hand, and you had to really figure out what each section of the island wanted you to do, and it was gorgeous on top of it. But again, I can totally understand why people wouldn't like the game, because there wasn't much else there other than puzzles. I mean, the whole island was a giant puzzle, basically, and if you're not into that, you're not going to like that game at all.
It makes me laugh, because half that podcast from 2016 is me trying to get Mark to understand that The Witness should have been on the list, and he kept fighting me the whole time that The Witness shouldn't be on the list, because we didn't get to review it at the time.
That will repeat this time, and I have it now, so there you go.
All right, well, now I want to fight harder for it to get in the top 10, because that's the best part of these podcasts, is the fight mark. So
I could see myself fighting for Firewatch, but I will grant that it's a flawed game, even though I love it.
Yeah, the plot, like, the gameplay is pretty nice, but the plot is just too, like, wonky.
I like the plot. It's more there were some technical issues with it that I experienced.
Well, the whole, like, dad living in the woods, you know, it's like this weird, like, homeless guy. It's like, what?
Well, Daniel, do you have a thought on any of these here?
It's just really interesting to go back and look at what we thought when we did the original podcast versus now. I mean, I don't have a big argument with the list. There were a lot of good games that did come out that year, going back and looking, and I mean,
yeah.
It's just kind of crazy to see how opinions change. One thing you had listed for influential reasons was No Man's Sky.
That's Yenzo's favorite game.
It's a completely different game at this point.
Yeah, I will not allow it on this list.
I mean, we're taking it for what it was in 2016, and it was not what it is now. So, like, when we do the top 100, I think that's where we can discuss, you know, like, No Man's Sky's rise and fall, and, you know, whether we want to put it in there or not.
No, man, Final Fantasy 14 is the one that, like, we could have broken that rule for. Or, 15 was this year. Okay, and then never mind, yeah. 15's okay.
I enjoyed 15 probably more than Nocebo. And it's just,
I quite liked it. Yeah. I think I platinumed that game.
Yeah, it was. Go ahead.
My only issue with Final Fantasy 15 was it got the Metal Gear Solid 5 treatment. Like, the ending felt super rushed.
Oh, it was so bad.
Way out of place.
The story is bad, but I still like the gameplay and, like, the core four guys.
No, the gameplay is fantastic.
They did patch a lot of that stuff in. And I think I played more of the. The weird multiplayer add-on
Comrades.
Expansion. Yeah, I played more of that than the main game.
I think Mark was lucky and he didn't have to play the totally weird Chapter 13 that tried to be four different games in one for some reason.
Was that the one where you're, like, in the base and you're, like, you have to, like, hide out and shit?
Yeah, you're stealthing for some reason when you don't stealth the entire rest of the game.
I did play that, and it was super weird. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, and then you can find that ring that makes you, like, overpowered. And
oh, yeah, I got that. That was fun.
I was like, what the hell? Why are we waiting until right now to do this? Yeah, and then we go into this, like, great overworld for most of the game, and then all of a sudden it's like we just got put in a tunnel. Like, the reverse of Final Fantasy 13 happened. And then you just get put in a tunnel for, like, the rest of the chapter 9 to 13. It's like, what the hell? Okay, thank you, a game that got totally rushed because you ran out of money. And it's obvious, but still, if they would have been able to...
7 remake.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens, because now there's rumors that apparently that game might be longer than people think. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, alright, so realistically here, we got to get Overwatch on the list somewhere, and whichever one, whether it's Ratchet and Clank or Tricky Towers, or we got to find at least one game, if not two, to remove off the list.
I nominate Dark Souls 3.
Watch Dogs 2.
No, because Watch Dogs 2 made Watch Dogs an actual good franchise.
Yeah, Watch Dogs 2 is much better than 1.
And Dark Souls 3 is another one of those goddamn games.
I've been thinking about, but you know, it's on sale right now on the holiday sale, so I've been thinking about whether I should give Watch Dogs 2 a shot for like $10 or however much it is.
Yeah. It's a much better game.
Okay.
I mean, I would say remove Dark Souls 3, and I could see Pokemon Go going.
So
I think you got to make a case of Pokemon Go. Man, like
I cannot stand Pokemon Go. I think it's actively bad, but it had a huge cultural impact.
Like, I would say that'd be like an influential game, but none of us stuck with it, or none of us care about it.
And also, it had the thing where
it's only good because it has Pokemon attached to it. Like, it's not like that Egress crap. Like,
right, it's just a reskin of Egress, essentially.
Well, remember that at this point in 2016, they also had it where it got broken. The catching mechanic got broken, like, I think, like, 2 months in or something like that.
They got rid of the something that said how close surrounding stuff was to you. It wouldn't tell you how close something was, but that was it.
Yeah.
But
well, which makes it difficult because, you know...
Just for the reaction and the cultural impact of it alone, it probably should have been on this list. Just, I mean... Think about it. You had my job was working. I watch cameras to make sure people aren't trespassing, and I lost count of the number of times I saw people staring at their phone, walking onto places they shouldn't have been because of the game.
Yeah, and not only that, it got people to go outside and be in groups that you never see.
I was going to say, and then he disappeared them.
Mark, to your point about deleting Dark Souls 3. It's the third best Dark Souls game, but it's still, to me, better than a lot of the games that are on this list with it. I don't think we can lose it. I mean, I'm okay with where it is. It could even be lower. I'm not going to fight whatever the placement for it is going to be, but I think it needs to be on there just because it's, you know, even not being the best Dark Souls game, it's still,
one of the best games
of that year.
No, it's not. Just because you like that formula doesn't mean other people do.
Yeah, but
there's a lot of other people that like that formula, though.
Plus, it's more the same. Like, you know, they made that one game, and then they cranked out 3 others pretty quickly. Like,
no, they didn't crank it out that fast. I mean, that was double tracked with Bloodborne, kind of with multiple teams working on multiple games at From.
Yeah, and next year you're going to be wanting Bloodborne on this stupid list.
Right, but it's years of development.
Well,
it's not
but
like
Bloodborne was actually worth putting on the
list.
Yeah,
Dark Souls 3 isn't.
It's not
that much new or different from the first two.
Come on, but
half.
It's a better game than Pokemon Go. It's a better game than
I want
Doom.
That to go also.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of Superhot. For what it does, and
Superhot could be like at the top of the list as far as I'm concerned. Like, totally unique mechanically, like there's nothing else quite like it. Feels amazing, gives you kind of that like slow-mo shootout feeling, like unlike any, you know, even things like God, what was that John Woo game, Stranglehold?
Yeah,
you know, or like there's like games that have tried that sort of thing, but like Superhot does it so well and so slickly. And turns it into a combat puzzle more than anything. I absolutely adore it. It's one of the best games that I've played. I mean, it's short and you can get
ain't that short.
Well, okay, if you take all the bonus, you know, doing the missions again under different conditions, but it's like a 5-hour game maybe for the campaign, right?
Yeah, but so that's infinite mode, so you just kind of keep playing it forever.
Well, you can, but yeah, and there's a lot of kind of challenge levels and stuff, but you know, it's not the most substantial game in terms of content, but it's just, man, the core of it is just so good. And I did like the weird story where, you know, I don't even know exactly what's going on. You're a hacker or something, and you're getting weirdly corrupted over time. Or
all right, well, we need to make some kind of movement here. I feel like we could make a case that Pokemon Go got bigger as it went on. Yes, it was a huge explosion in 2016, but I think it also was improved in later years, adding in the battling and adding in other things like the raids and stuff like that. That you could make a case that when we go into the top 100 and we want to talk about adding it, sure, but it's not the total complete game that it is right now in 2016. Anybody else want to?
If you want to use that rationale, go ahead.
I'm saying, is anybody else going to argue with me about keeping it on? Going once, going twice, no, then put Overwatch there and take it off then. Okay, so anybody really want to argue about Ratchet and Clank, or are we done with that?
I mean, I dug it, but it can go. Like, it's not like the most like influential game in the world. It's not like the third game in a franchise that's already bad or anything. So
it's a really good remake of that first game, and that was a good game to begin with. So it's nice.
I know Randy really liked it too. So
yeah, I played it. We watched the movie and then played the game. So it's really weird.
I'm sure the game was a much better experience.
Isn't the movie just the cutscenes from the game?
It basically is. So I was having fun playing the game and going, oh, I know this part. They obviously changed a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, yeah. The same voice actors and stuff did both. And they do take bits and pieces from the movie and with the game. But I agree with Mark that the remake was really good. I don't think it makes the top 10. And I don't think I'll fight too hard for it, but I enjoyed the game for sure.
I kind of, other than Tricky Towers is the only one I can make an argument for, but I know that it's not.
You got one sacred cow on that list. You can get rid of it and put another good game, put an actual good game on there.
Mm. Oh my god.
Hard to substitute. Yeah,
unless you want to cut Doom, I'm okay with that also.
No,
I don't like Doom, but a lot of people love that game.
Yeah, I really like that game. No, the multiplayer was crap, but the single player was good. I really liked it. You just go in there and fucking kill shit. I mean,
I have no idea what Inside even is.
It's Inside? Okay, so it's the better version of Limbo.
Yeah, you play a blob monster halfway through.
Okay. And it's basically like a, you walking, it's a side scroll, and you...
Yeah, it's a sci-fi Limbo.
Yeah. And the story is much more apparent than in Limbo. And it's once you get to the end, it gets really emotional. And for being a short game, it is quite impactful, honestly.
Okay. Yeah, I absolutely love that game. It's so good. And like you said, it's an upgraded version of Limbo. I mean, they added color to it, too, so it changes the art style a little bit. There's a lot more interaction with people in that game. And like you said, I mean, the story in Limbo, it was kind of left to your own interpretation. Inside is, you know exactly what's going on. And some of the hidden features in it, it's really good.
All right. Sounds like that has to stay. All right. So I guess I'm the only Dark Souls 3 defender, whereas Mark, Randy, and I all love Tricky Towers. So maybe we do replace... Maybe we do put Tricky Towers on the list.
I love
it. Now I can go back to previous podcasts and get Dark Souls 2 off those lists.
No, I can't. I think Dark Souls 2 is much harder to...
Souls 2 is significantly different. than Dark Souls 1 and 3. So,
okay. I think we're good with what's there, and now it's about moving things. I think, honestly, I feel like Stardew Valley could go in third, just for that game is addicting. It is just, it's something you can just play. You can pick up, I mean, it's perfect for the Switch. It's perfect for almost anything, but it's like, it's also on phones at this point, too. You can pick it up, play for a little bit, and keep just farming and doing your thing. It's amazing that one guy made that game. And, you know, it continues to be iterated. It has multiplayer now. And it's just, it's amazing how that game has continued to just be improved upon, and people still play it, and there's, and then still love it. And it's just, like, I'm not a Harvest Moon guy, and I've been playing it on my phone and just enjoying the crap out of just making a farm, and you can go romance people in that game and all that stuff. It's really neat.
Sure. I just don't like Doom or Inside that much, but so go ahead.
Yeah, I would say flip Stardew Valley and Doom. Keep Inside at 4.
That's not bad
for me on that.
Do you have a particular feeling about anything? Any game you want to talk about, Daniel?
No, I mean, I don't have any argument about flipping them. The top five, as you did, putting Stardew Valley at 3, I think it looks pretty good set up like that.
So what is your issue with Doom, Mark, that you don't?
I just didn't like the gameplay. Like, I thought it was just kind of weird that you, like, kept having to melee guys.
Too also, reliant on melee finishers, and they get repetitive.
I just didn't like the gameplay in that game, which is weird, because, I mean, everyone else says it's good, but I'm just like, okay. Like, it felt just very banal to me, or, like, boring.
It didn't feel like Doom to me.
Yeah, I felt like, it was fun to, like, the setting of Hell was, like, amazing to look at for me. I think that's kind of what got me, is just being in that world, and you really feel like you're kind of immersed in it or whatever, and it was, like, cool also, to go back like, there. Go ahead.
There was a lot of, like, weird humor in that game, which was, like, funny, but it felt kind of out of place.
Isn't that the case for most Bethesda games?
That I have no problem with.
Yeah, but not in Doom. Like, there's not a ton of humor in the original Doom game.
It's their reinterpretation of it, like, many years later. I mean,
it's better than... I mean, it's better than these super serious Doom 3, you know? That's like, they're trying to be the really dark and gritty one.
Well, definitely, I think we can move it down, because Overwatch should probably be, like, 5th or something.
I was going to suggest moving Tokyo Mirage Sessions Fire Emblem into the top 5, because I think it's probably... I mean, it's close to my number 1 that year. But I also want Superhot in the top 5, so it's difficult for me.
Like, you know, Tokyo Mirage Sessions was just, like... It was cool to have a Persona-type game on the Wii U, of all things. And just, they did that... Like, it's not... And it somehow is able to combine Fire Emblem in a way that you don't expect. It has its, like,
the modern
weird
setting.
Yeah, exactly. It has its weird story. And I enjoyed the dungeons, too, you know? So, apparently the banter is not translated or subtitled in the Twitch version that's about to come out, which is kind of...
What?
That kind of sucks, but...
What did they're changing the translation?
No, the gameplay, the battle banter that they have.
Oh.
Apparently, they didn't decide to translate that or subtitle it, so it's all in Japanese. So you can't really. You're just going to hear them say Segoy a lot, apparently. But
That's fine.
Yeah, so... But, like, it was, like, I hadn't played any kind of Persona-type game at that point, and it was, like, something that I was, like, wow, I picked this game up for the Wii U, and it was... I couldn't stop playing it. It was awesome. And I'm so happy to get to play it pretty soon again.
Yeah, no, I've never played it, so I'm curious to give it a
try. Hear me out. Super Hot number 5, Tokyo Mirage Sessions number 6, Doom number 7.
I'm fine with that, because Super Hot is very, like, there's nothing else like it. And then now that they put it in VR, which makes it even more awesome to play, like, it's one of those games that, like, you play in a VR, and I don't think you want to go back to playing it the other way, because it's just so immersive, and it's...
You really don't. I'm fine with that, too. I think that... That works.
And then...
that works, too.
Yeah, you can move Overwatch over Doom as well, I guess.
Yeah.
That one, I feel less... Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, Overwatch, like... Yes, it sort of just does... Team Fortress, but I mean, you can't deny what
team doesn't these days.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, people are worried that if Overwatch League doesn't do well, that esports could go down. That's how important Overwatch is, and it, you know, it's just. I think, and it's also like, look at Apex Legends. Basically, takes what Overwatch did, and, you know, changes the formula some, and makes it into its own game. I think Overwatch kind of caused this explosion, and I mean, it helped Blizzard, right? Because they were in a weird spot at that point, and all of a sudden Overwatch comes on, and it's like, holy crap, here we go, explosion, Overwatch, they figured out how to ape another genre and make it theirs. So, you know. I think we got the list, right? Or is anybody gonna argue for anything else?
Yeah, pretty painless.
Oh, yeah.
Alright, so there's your 2016 top 10. Well, hold on, we got to talk about the two games. I mean, they're kind of like no-duhs. People know what they are, but I feel like we need to talk about them, I guess. Titanfall 2 and Uncharted 4, we haven't said a word about them. They're just there. So, Randy, you want to take the honors on your favorite series here?
Yeah, Titanfall
2? Titanfall 2. No, God, no. Not that I have any problem with it being at number 2, but... For Uncharted 4, it is the perfect love letter to put that series out. Just a lot of callbacks to the original 3. I mean, I guess the one thing you can get on about the story is the inclusion of a brother for Nate was a little weird with Sam, but I thought they did it really, really well. A little long, maybe, in the final act. I can see that too with Elaine when you're hunting for the pirate ship stuff. But it's just so gorgeous. Like, seeing the Uncharted universe in PS4 graphics was fantastic. The gameplay, of course, was great. The voice acting's amazing. Just a perfect send off to that series.
Titanfall 2. Go ahead, Daniel.
I'm kind of indifferent to Uncharted 4. I didn't play the other ones, so it seemed okay, but... I forget.
Wow.
This seems
well,
like
I mean, if you haven't played the other ones, I feel like you don't grasp some of the why Uncharted 4 is beloved,
but
I think.
You mean the brother character isn't part of that series from the get-go? They didn't introduce him in a half-assed retcon?
But even if it's your first Uncharted game, like, the core of it and the presentation and the polish are still just so... high up there. I mean, I thought I had, like, Uncharted burnout when I started that game. and I was surprised by how the magic came back.
I actually thought the multiplayer was pretty good also in that game.
Didn't play that
like,
one.
Surprisingly. Like
Titanfall 2 basically gives you Titanfall with a wonderful story mode. And,
well,
you know,
a story mode.
I like that story mode. Like
it's not bad. I mean, like, Titanfall 1 didn't have any story mode.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. But
improvement's good.
But they could have just totally shoehorned that thing in there and just did whatever with it, right? Like, but they gave you an actual story mode that had some gravitas to it. Like, you feel for that robot and the way that they kind of, the human character and the robot have a connection, and that's sent through the entire campaign as you're playing through it. I mean, like, that's what grabbed me. I didn't care about the multiplayer stuff in Titanfall 2. Like, I love just experiencing the gameplay of that game through that story mode. That's what got me, and that's what I really enjoyed about it. But,
and I do think that we do need to point out that the game was royally screwed over by the release date when it came out.
Yes, because they decided to release it the same.
Own, or like the game they supported better, or probably a bigger hit.
No, like they released it within the same window as Infinite Warfare and Battlefield 1.
Yeah, it was Battlefield 1 came out, yeah. Titanfall 2 was the next week, and then Call of Duty was the week after that.
Yeah,
it was just, if they had released it at any other time, that game, I think, would have been a massive success. But because when they released it, it kind of got overlooked.
Well, that's okay. Respawn got to prove them wrong many years later, so it's fine.
And Titanfall 3 will never get made.
Probably not. We'll have to see with Vince Zampella going to DICE LA what that does, if anything. But, all right. So, here we go. Here's our top 10 for 2016. Uncharted 4 and Titanfall 2 did not move from their 1 and 2 spots. Stardew Valley at 3. Inside at 4. Token Mirage Sessions. Sharp FE at 5. Super Hot. Number 6, Overwatch 7, Doom at 8, Watch Dogs 2 at 9, and Tricky Towers at 10. Really quick, why is Watch Dogs 2 great? Because nobody really...
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, you just said it made Watch Dogs better, but...
Yeah, better main character, had a way better story, good hacking mechanics, more interesting city to drive around in and explore. Yeah, I mean, we talked about this the last podcast, but... Yeah, it's just a massive step up from Watch Dogs 1. Gives us an actual good game now.
Where they go? It gives you a lot to look forward to with the Watch Dogs Legion when that comes out in 2020. So, yep, that's it. Hopefully you enjoyed what you heard here for 2016, and you join us for the years coming up, 2017, which is absolutely the death of what you pick between those heavy hitters.
My God, and the most brutal year of all.
Yeah, that was painful for us to go through, I remember.
it was, you can make an argument for really...
It was about five or six.
Five as being game of the year.
Yeah, it was an absolute, like, killer year for like heavy hitters at that point. So, and we'll get into that very shortly, but also remember we have 2010 through 2015, and if you know you've liked what you heard, you want to listen to us weekly, we do this show on a regular basis, and we have our most anticipated games of 2020, and whenever we get we're finishing out most of this part one of this series, and we'll on Friday, we should have our final podcast of that series and also a regular show. Look forward to that. Hit subscribe to Video Games to the Max so you can get us whenever we do drop an episode. And give us a review on any podcast service that you enjoy, whether that's iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, whatever. It's not iTunes anymore. Apple Podcasts. Sorry, Apple, for they don't want you to call it that anymore. And yeah, we'll see you in a little bit for 2017.